The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, fantasy enthusiasts of all ages, welcome in to the Fantasy Authority Wide Receiver Rankings Show. Cody, Robbie, and Kev rocking with you here. Going to get you set for week five. Doing something a little bit different this week if you haven't caught the other videos. So instead of going through, normally there's two of us, we go through our rankings individually. This week, again, a little twist, all three of us. So we're going to pull our consensus rankings and talk about them that way. So without further ado, let's jump into our top 12 wide receivers for week five. We have it as Davante Adams, Stephon Diggs, Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, DJ Moore, Justin Jefferson at six, DeAndre Hopkins, Terry McLaurin, DK Metcalf, Calvin Ridley, Keenan Allen, and Debo Samuel as our last wide receiver one. Kev, going to throw it to you first. Who do you want to, you know, really touch on? I think it's pretty simple here for the top 12 guys. Not a lot we have to really dive into, but anyone that you're really liking, anyone who you were, you know, kind of hesitant on in your top 12.
I see. I am lower on Justin Jefferson than you guys are, and that is mainly because I think that this is a game that we see the Vikings really just run the rock, right? That's what they want to do. You know, Mike Zimmer goes six for midnight anytime he gets an opportunity to just pound that rock anytime he can. And, you know, they're playing Detroit. And so Detroit's defense is terrible. And I just don't think they throw the ball that much. I don't think that Detroit's going to be able to do a whole lot to be able to keep up in this game. And I think that Dalvin Cook sees a just massive amount of carries in this game. And so I am just a little bit lower on Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen alike, because I just don't think they really need to throw the ball that much. And so I think that, you know, lowers him down just a tad. But I mean, he's still, you know, I still have as a top eight guy. And then somebody that I am much lower than you guys are, and that is one Calvin Ridley. He has been very, very, very average to start this year. Like, he's not been the guy that I think all of us thought he would be to this point. This Falcons offense just looks terrible, and we got guys like Cordell Patterson just doing all the work and getting all the touchdowns right now. And I think the touchdowns will come. The target share is definitely there for it to be that. But like the thing with him, you know, I don't think it's probably a big surprise that without Julio Jones there, that it really has probably affected him a little bit. I know we've had stints without Julio Jones, and some of this could just be attributed to the touchdown rate here. But I mean, it's not even that. Like, I mean, he's been terrible in terms of yards per route run. I mean, he's 63rd in yards per route run, and that is a pretty good metric to utilize in terms of wide receiver efficiency to look at. And he just hasn't been there. They're also not utilizing him deep whatsoever either, or I should say, not whatsoever, but I mean, not nearly as much as I think we all thought they would. Right now, his yard per reception is 9.4, which is 84th among all wide receivers, or 87th among all wide receivers, and his yard per target is 6.1. And so he's not getting those opportunities as a deep threat either. I just have a little bit of concern with him. And, you know, I'm not going to continue to just rank these guys inside my top 10 just because, well, that's where they should go. And so that's why I have him a little bit lower. Same with like an Allen Robinson, who I now have as a wide receiver three. And maybe that might even be too high. Again, with Calvin Ridley, I'm not saying that he's a bad play. It is against the Jets, but I will say the Jets have been decent on defense. The defense hasn't really been much of the problem. It's been the offense turning the ball over. So this defense actually has played a little bit better than I think people give them credit for. But I do still think with this offense, I think that with him, he's still a locked-in top 20 guy, but there are definitely concerns with Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, the reason why I have him up there, Kev, is because all of the rosier part of that picture that you laid out with the target share and the receptions. Like, all it takes is, you know, a play here or there for him to be able to put up one of those instead of 7 for 60, 7 for 80 games that he's been having, for him to turn that into a 8 for 120 in the score. I feel like this matchup against the Jets, although, like you were saying, haven't been as bad as we were probably expecting them to be, they're still not a great defense either. So that's why I'm still holding on hope. But I'm with you on dropping down A-Rob. Robbie is actually the highest amongst us on him there. But Robbie, before we move on, I really don't have anything to add in here for the top 12 guys. If you have any of these guys, you're plugging them in and starting them. Any of the top 12 guys you want to touch on before we move on?
No. Just to quickly add, I think that's why I'm higher on Calvin Ridley. Is he is a top five guy in terms of targets right now, with 42 in 4 weeks, 96% of the snaps, 31% of the target share. Three touchdowns is not going to go to Cordarrelle Patterson every single week. If Matt Ryan throws two touchdowns, I think most weeks we can probably expect Calvin Ridley to have his name attached to that. That's never been something he's struggled with in the past. Even with Julio Jones there, I think his past three seasons, he had 9, 10, and then 7 touchdowns. So this is a guy that can find the end zone, and I think that will turn around. So only one through the first 4 weeks. I think Calvin Ridley, after this week, we're going to be remembering, oh, this is the Calvin Ridley of old. I mean, he had 13 targets, 7 for 80. Again, we are missing the touchdown, and I do think it comes in future games. The other guy, I think Deontay Johnson is just the other name I'd like to throw out there. 35 targets through three games. He just gets so many freaking targets from Ben Roethlisberger because he can't throw it anywhere else. He's a top 10 wide receiver for me because he scored twice in the three games, and he's going to get peppered. He's going to get 10 to 14 targets each week. I don't care if Claypool comes back. He's obviously Ben's number one. Sometimes his number two option if he's not going to Najee Harris 17 times. So Deontay Johnson, I think, just because of volume, just because of how much this offense is probably going to have to throw to stay in games because they can't move the football early in football games, Deontay Johnson should be a top 12 guy ranked until we see differently.
I was, like, taken aback by that deep target, that touchdown that he had over. And I was like, Big Ben threw a dime to him on that play. And I'm like, where is this Ben? Where is this Big Ben? But it was very short-lived. It was like he just reached in and just grabbed it out. It was like, you know, he sapped more of his power away because that's literally all. But I just was shocked whenever he made that throw.
A broken Big Ben clock is still right twice a day. Yeah, I've been sitting on that for a second.
Imagine what Deontay Johnson could be if he actually had a functioning quarterback. Not this geriatric old man.
Maybe next year with the looks that Aaron Rodgers and Mike Tomlin were given to each other.
Did you see that? I mean, there was some like they were smitten for each other.
Cody might be a Steelers fan again.
Yeah, he might break out of Steelers stuff again.
I'm sure I'd find something to bitch and complain about. But before we go too far down that rabbit hole, let's go ahead and dive into our wide receiver twos for week five. Kicking things off for us is Chris Godwin. Next is the aforementioned Deontay Johnson. That is my fault. I have him down at 21. You guys have him at 9 and 11. Then we move on to CeeDee Lamb, Adam Thielen, Ja'Marr Chase, Mike Williams, Amari Cooper, Tyler Lockett, Mike Evans, Hollywood Brown, Allen Robinson, and Corey Davis, wrapping things up for our wide receiver twos. Robbie, throwing it to you first. Who in here in this group would you like to touch on for the week five wide receiver ranks?
Yeah, I think this group is kind of the guys that at least have shown us enough through two or three of these 4 weeks, right? Wide receivers, you're always going to see an inconsistent game every now and then. So all these guys have had some down games, but guys like Tyler Lockett, after he booms 2 weeks, he has two down games. I think he absolutely can come out and have another good week. But the guy I really want to touch on is Marquise Brown. He's been fantastic, and I know eventually Rashad Bateman is going to come back, and that's probably going to curtail my excitement for him a little bit. But, man, the Ravens are throwing more than they have ever in Lamar Jackson's history. They don't really have a run game. Latavius Murray is leading the way. I know he had 18 – I think it was 18 carries last game, but they're actually throwing at a decent pace where he's now getting targets that if you have a guy with his explosiveness and his ability, right, to make big plays – this is a guy that you have to rank at least as a wide receiver two each week. The only week that he hasn't been a wide receiver two or better was the week where he dropped, what, two or three passes. Two of them could have been touchdowns. So he's a guy that should absolutely be locked and loaded going against the Colts secondary. Mike Evans, I think it was exciting to see him perform well when they had A.B., Chris Godwin. I know Gronk was out, but I thought he might be the guy that they try and take away. It looked like Bill Belichick, the Patriots, kind of took away Chris Godwin a little bit. So I was a little bit worried about Mike Evans, but he's actually had a decent target share where I'm not as worried about him. I'm not ranking him, outside of wide receiver two at all. He has shown enough where I'm going to keep him as a solid wide receiver two. But those are the two guys I really want to touch on.
First things first, let's talk about Ja'Marr Chase. And man, doesn't it feel like it was just the other day where people thought he was dead and, preseason drops and everything else. And here we are. That's so Ja'Marr Chase just continues to ball every single week. It's not even just the four touchdowns that he has that is second among all wide receivers. It is the 46.5% of the market share of the air yards in this offense, which is fifth among all wide receivers. So, I really don't care if T. Higgins comes back. It's not really going to affect my opinion of him one way or the other. I think it affects probably Tyler Boyd more than it does Ja'Marr Chase. And in this matchup that they are going to get against Green Bay, we already talked about it, especially if Jaire Alexander is forced to miss, then this is going to be big, big things for Ja'Marr Chase. So I absolutely love him this week. I probably could actually have him higher than I do. And, I wanted to talk really quickly about Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb because I am probably lower on both of them than I have Amari Cooper at 25, and I have CeeDee Lamb just a little bit higher. And for me, it goes right along with what I think about what this offense probably is turning a little bit more into and a little bit more balanced, right? I think heading into this year, we all thought that this offense was going to be top three in, pass attempts per game, and it's just not been the case. They have not needed to run the ball. The defense has been much better than I think we all thought they would be this quickly. And they've been able to just lean on the run. They get a big lead and they just lean on the run. And I think that's just going to lead to less opportunities for these wide receivers. And so I am just a little bit lower on both of them. I think they're both stars for sure. But, even like last week with Amari Cooper, had he not found the end zone, last week, he had three targets in that game. For three catches, 69 yards and a touchdown. He did leave briefly with a injury, so that should be mentioned. But he's not seeing any targets. I mean, week one, 16 targets when they were behind, right? Since then, 5, 4, 3. Now, he has been dealing with an injury for CeeDee Lamb or for Amari Cooper that has something to do, just not utilizing as much. But even still, we can talk about CeeDee Lamb. 15, 9, 3, and 5 targets for these guys, right? And so if they get a lead, they are going to run the rock with Ezekiel Elliott and Tony Pollard, and they're just not going to throw the ball as much. I would temper my expectations for these guys because of that, because if they get a lead, they're going to run the ball, and it's going to lower their opportunities. And even without Michael Gallup, and when Michael Gallup comes back, I really don't know what this is going to look like, because do I think that CeeDee Lamb is going to get 3 and 5 targets every week? No. But I think it is definitely in the range of possibility, and the Giants' offense isn't one that I would say that is definitely going to be pushing the Cowboys to air it out.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, just quickly on that, I have Cooper at wide receiver 13, so higher, much higher than Kev, and then a little bit higher than Cody. And I think, honestly, the untold story that I've mentioned a couple times is just the turnovers that the Cowboys defense has been able to generate week in and week out. They've had at least two interceptions each week, adding in a couple of fumble recoveries. So I don't think that that quite continues to at the rate it has been. If it did, they would probably set a record for turnovers. Really, they're on pace to break all records for interceptions in a season. So once you see that, I think you're going to see this offense have to drive down the field more. They've been given a lot of short fields. You're right. They've gotten really early leads, and I think with how good this offense is, they can continue to do that. But I think they'll have to sustain longer drives, and when you do that, you can't always just run the football as well as they do it. I do think we'll see more involvement from this passing game, and I think it balances out a little bit more where they're not as run heavy as they have been this past game. And if they're not turning over defense or offenses as much as they have, you can also talk about these offenses staying in the game a little bit more than the Eagles and the Panthers did the past 2 weeks. So I do think that that balances out a little bit more. We should see Cooper and Lamb more in the probably 7 to 9 target range than we've seen them in the 3 to 5 the past couple of weeks.
The only thing I want to throw in here with the guys that we have in this range is I'd be waiting for the Tyler Lockett, the next Tyler Lockett blow-up game, and then I'm shipping him out as quickly as humanly possible. Like it is just so frustrating with him after starting off the year as wide receiver 6 and wide receiver 2 and half PPR scoring. Now looking at wide receiver 66 in week 3 and wide receiver 75 in week 4. So like I'm telling you guys now, the next blow-up game he has when he scores that second touchdown, Tyler Lockett on the block. Just message everybody in your league, let them know, and just sell him off to the highest bidder. But let's go ahead and jump into our wide receiver 3s, and we'll start to wrap things up here. Kicking things off with Courtland Sutton at 25, Robert Woods, Marvin Jones, Antonio Brown at 28, Brandon Cooks at 29, Jacoby Myers, someone who we liked a lot last week. He came through. T. Higgins at 31. I can speak for myself that if he's in, I'm definitely going to be moving him up. Odell Beckham, Tyler Boyd, Devonta Smith, Manny Sanders, and then Michael Pittman we have at 36 across the board. So, Kev, wide receivers in the wide receiver 3 range. Just talk to us about your wide receiver 3s.
Well, I'm definitely not sure on Robert Woods. I continue to not be sure on Robert Woods. He bailed people out last week with a touchdown, or else it would have been another really rough week with 8 fantasy points had it not been for the touchdown that he was able to get. And, you know, Cooper Kupp just continues to just take all the targets of this offense. And now we saw, like, Van Jefferson becoming more and more involved in this offense as well. So, I think you still play Robert Woods, but man, if you have some other options, I think you could easily sit Robert Woods at this point because he's just not seeing the opportunities. I mean, he did see 9 targets in week 2, but other than that, it's 4, 6, and 6. And so, I mean, it's just been a little bit rough sledding for him. You know, Robert Woods is just hard to really trust on a week-to-week basis at this point. But I did want to hit on Jacoby Myers. Love to see it. Love to see Jacoby Myers, somebody that I was in love with heading into the season. He has 41 targets on the year, which is 8th most among all wide receivers. Can the guy get a touchdown, though? That's all I want to know. Can we get Jacoby a touchdown? He didn't get one last year. He still doesn't have one this year. Like, it is frustrating, as I'll get out with Jacoby Myers, that he cannot see a touchdown. Bill, can we scheme him a touchdown? Can we reward this guy with a touchdown because he needs it? Because he's still, you know, averaging 13.4 fantasy points per game without a touchdown, which is impressive. He's also 7 deep targets, 8th most among all wide receivers. So Jacoby Myers turned into a solid wide receiver 3 every week. Great matchup against Houston as well. And so I like that. I like this matchup for him. And he is somebody that's going to continue to see a lot of targets in this offense. And, you know, I think those are the guys that, you know, that I really like. I know Odell Beckham. I'm higher on him as well against the Chargers. I think they are going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. My goodness, was Baker Mayfield horrendous last week? They are obviously a team that leans far more on the run than they do the pass. But Odell Beckham continues to see the majority of the targets in this offense. And so I think that he is somebody that I like as a wide receiver 3 as well.
Real quickly, just to jump on the guys that I want to talk about while you were talking about wanting to get some touchdowns, Kev. Can we get one for Michael Pittman? A guy that I was high on, finally starting to not finally, because it's been happening since week 2, 8 for 123, 6 for 68, and 6 for 59, sitting at 17th in target share among wide receivers, 14th in targets. It's all there. 7th in red zone targets, but only 2 receptions on those 6 targets. So he's someone who, you know, it's nice to see him kind of step into that alpha role where after week one, we were kind of just like, oh, here we go again. Going to be waiting on the Michael Pittman breakout. We still need that big game, but he's someone who, you know, is going to be consistently in our wide receiver three rankings for the rest of the year because of the opportunity that he's seeing. Robbie, who you got in this wide receiver three range?
Yeah, I think I want to just tell Nick Sirianni that when you throw the ball to Devontae Smith, you end up having a lot of success. I hope that does continue. I have him as a start, even though he's, you know, down there kind of in that flex play. He will be a flex that's going to go over a lot of running backs, a lot of these other wide receivers. Yep. He should probably, I don't want to call him a must start, but he's going to be a mostly start if there's such a thing. Marvin Jones, is, as you guys know, was a guy I was a little bit higher on. DJ Chark out of the picture now. It's kind of Marvin Jones and Chenault to carry the torch. He did disappoint on Thursday night, but now he gets Tennessee Titans, who have been horrendous against wide receivers. They're ceding the second most points to wide receivers, and they became the get-right game for Zach Wilson in that offense. So I really like Marvin Jones going against that secondary. The one guy we talked about at the top that we didn't talk about really since, Allen Robinson. He's a guy that I'm still going to go back to the well one more time. We've seen Justin Fields improve, right? He was horrendous in week three. He played a lot better, but only had 11 passing attempts in week four. That's because they really didn't need to. You know, David Montgomery is just chewing up that Lions run defense. And now David Montgomery has been injured. If they go back to Andy Dalton, I think we probably see them throw more. And if they stay with Justin Fields, we've seen him improve enough. This could just bode well, I think, for Allen Robinson, who we know has the talent in the past, has always been a 160 target guy. He's obviously not on pace for that this year, but we know the talent is there. If the opportunity improves, which I think it will with either quarterback behind center, I do think we see a good Allen Robinson game. He faces Las Vegas, so it's kind of that medium. I'm not ranking him higher because of the matchup or lower, but I do trust the talent and this passing offense to be leaned on a little bit more with Dave Montgomery out.
Definitely some guys to like outside of the wide receiver three range. We can touch on those guys quickly, and we'll wrap things up here. Kev, who are some of the names you like outside of our top 36 that you're looking to play in week five?
Yeah, I think it was really, I really wanted to get him into my top 36. I think I'm at 37. But LaVisca Chenault, it was good to see, you know, six catches, 99 yards last week against Cincinnati. You know, really good matchup this week against Tennessee. Nothing really to worry about there. Did not find the end zone, but LaVisca Chenault should be utilized far more than what he is. Like, I've been a little bit surprised with some of the usage that he's had a little bit this year and the kind of the way they've utilized him a little bit. I thought they would get more creative in the ways of, you know, getting the ball in his hands. But it was a really encouraging game last week and a really great matchup this week. So you definitely could fire him up as a flex option this week. And then, you know, Randall Cobb kind of coming out of the woodworks a little bit, you know, did play 47% of the snaps. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's all of a sudden going to bump up and see 80-90% of the snaps. It's not going to happen. You know, I think they're going to continue to utilize him the way that he is. But as long as MVS is on the shelf right now, on the IR, he's going to see more opportunities. We know he has that connection, that built-in chemistry with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, last week, 5 for 6 for 69 yards and those two touchdowns last week. And so I do like him as well. I think AJ Green is also somebody that we could look at once again as a weekly flex option. He continually is seeing a lot of opportunities. This is arguably one of the best offenses in the league with Kyler Murray. And, you know, while, you know, we thought that Rondale Moore was going to be a thing, he has the last few weeks really hasn't been utilized nearly as much. It's really been AJ Green, kind of been that number two wide receiver, you know, with Christian Kirk right there with him. So AJ Green, I thought he was dust, but apparently not. And then I think Jameson Crowder as well. I know, Robbie, I think you have him pretty high as well, but he is back as the, you know, the slot wide receiver here in this offense. Good matchup for him. So I think Jameson Crowder also is somebody that people can look at.
Yeah, just following up on that, yeah, Jameson Crowder kind of took over that Braxton Berrios role that we thought he would in that offense, and that's just going to make him a really good weekly flex in PPR leagues. I mean, he even found the end zone, which is something he doesn't do a ton, but when you get that is fantastic. If Elijah Moore still is out in week five, I think that means, again, I don't know if he's the must start, but you're going to really, really like him as a flex option going against the Atlanta Falcons, who are not very good against wide receivers. Darnell Mooney, I mentioned all those things about Allen Robinson. I think we can't overlook Darnell Mooney's fantastic game. 5 catches for 125 yards. The same thing applies to what I said about Allen Robinson. If Justin Fields has more opportunities, if he continues to grow now in his third start, or if they go to Andy Dalton, who I think is serviceable, I do think Darnell Mooney is a guy that's worth flex consideration. And then another guy, maybe this is more just picking him up and stashing, but Kadarius Toney looked really, really good, actually. I know that Sterling Shepard is out. I know that Darius Slayton's out. When they all come back, it's going to be a conjumbled mess, but I don't know how long they're going to be out. And so he logged 66% snaps in week three. He plays 78% in week four, and gets a really good target share here in week four. 9 targets, caught 6 for 78, and just looks really dynamic. I mean, you can tell he's 180 pound or whatever he is because he's so shifty. Just looks really dynamic. So with how well Daniel Jones is playing, and this is not just a fantasy thing, but a real life quarterback thing.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that. And, you know, while these guys remain out, like, he's going to play majority in the slot, which is those high value targets. And so, I'm not a big fan of Kadarius Toney, the player, especially, you know, at the draft process and everything else, but I definitely think that he is. I did want to ask you guys really quickly about Brandon Ayuk. Like, I don't get how somebody can be so dynamic and so, like, just how good he was last year to this year, where he's just a complete afterthought. Like, it's like he's just a guy out there, no worried about it. Like, I'm starting to, like, also on this point as well, like, is Kyle Shanahan a fraud? Because, like, if you look at Kyle Shanahan, he had the 1 year where they had the, you know, the elite defense. Other than that, he's just been a fraud. Like, they don't win games. They struggle every year. And, like, we keep waiting for this amazing offense, and he's such an offensive guru and all this other stuff. And I'm like, how the fuck do you not use Brandon Ayuk? Like, how do you not do whatever you can to scheme that dude touches? He is clearly, if not, he's not their best wide receiver, he's damn sure their second best wide receiver. And the guy's not getting any opportunities. Out 3 targets last week in a game that they were trailing. Like, how do you not utilize Brandon Ayuk? Do whatever you can to scheme him touches, because he is absolutely dynamic, and I don't get it. The whole thing has been a catastrophe. And the more and more I'm starting to think that Kyle Shanahan is just a fraud.
Maybe they're savoring him for the inevitable Deebo Samuel injury. Maybe they're like, hey, we got to squeeze this lemon as much as we can, get all the juice out of this Deebo fruit, because we might not have it. You know, that it might be going out of season. The Deebo fruit might not be ripe for too much longer. Maybe that's it. That's the only thing I can possibly think of. I loved Ayuk coming into this year. Played well with Nick Mullins and CJ Beathard. Thought it was going to be like, okay, hey, if Deebo can stay healthy, that's going to be great. But I think it's going to be Ayuk who leads us, even though I love Deebo, you know, coming in as a rookie. I think I might have a soft spot for South Carolina receivers with Bryan Edwards as well. But it doesn't make any sense to me either. And then you look at, you know, some of the guys who he's drafted that haven't panned out. You know, Dante Pettis comes to mind. So I don't have any answers for you, Kev. I got nothing.
Yeah, just past what they do scheme-wise, I think the problem that I had with IU coming into the season is that this is just not an offense that throws at a high percentage, and especially if they make the move to Lance, which it now looks like they kind of have. We'll see what happens with Jimmy Garoppolo here, but they're just going to run more. And I think it's kind of similar to the Justin Fields, except Trey Lance is not as polished as Justin Fields, and we saw that here in week four, where other than that broken play to Deebo, which he also underthrew, if we remember right. Trey Lance looked not great throwing the football. So I think that's going to hurt. I think it's going to hurt Deebo Samuel as well, where I don't think I should have him ranked as high as we have. So that's what I'm afraid of, is that when they all three coexisted between Kittle, Deebo, and Ayuk actually struggled. He only had one good game. Other than that, he had 44 yards or less with two. I think he had 12 and 14 yards in 2 of those 4 starts. So there's just not enough passing volume. But yeah, you guys are right. Like, even if there's not, he still should be involved more. Give him a run, you know, motion him out, you know, do something to get him the football. But it's just not happening right now.
That is putting it lightly. Just real quick, the last guy I want to touch on, Jaylen Waddle. I think you can go back to him as a flex level play. Started off looking good for him last week, had 3 catches for 33 yards really early in that game. And then nothing. But then going up against Tampa Bay this week, he's going to continue to play in the slot. There's no way going up against Tampa Bay, he only sees four receptions. A lot of that work went toward Devontae Parker, but I think we could see that funnel back toward Jalen Waddle. So maybe not the, 13 or 12 targets that he saw 2 weeks ago, but I do think we see him approach that, 8 to 10 range. Like I said, I think you can go back to him as a flex-level play in this matchup. So that is going to wrap everything up for the wide receiver rankings. Any questions you guys have, drop a comment in the video or pull down the video description. Click the link for the Discord. You can jump in there, ask your questions, come join the TFA community. It is absolutely free. So make sure you're keeping things locked in here, and we'll catch you guys soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.